Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of His imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
Jay, today we conclude one of the installments in our study of God's plan through the ages. This has been the study of the prophetic book of Daniel, which describes the times of the Gentiles. In our last study, we had come to Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27, or also known as the 70 weeks of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27, we see described the seven-year period of time known as the tribulation period, which takes place in the end of times. Daniel 9:27 tells us of the two major components in this tribulation period known as the tyrant and the treaty. The tyrant is the satanically energized Antichrist. In that 7 years, there will also be a treaty. A treaty that supposedly brings peace. This treaty will actually bring a temporary, short-lived pseudo-peace. Today we'll begin our study in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27. I'm going to begin by asking a question and then giving the answer. Please go with us to Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
The tyrant. Is the tyrant alive? I can go much deeper in the study of the Antichrist, but I believe he's alive. I told you, chapter 7, verse 8 says he comes out of the ten horns. He controls three and he takes charge. Chapter 17 of the book of Revelation says, 1 hour with the beast. And that word beast, used 42 times in Revelation, is referring to the Antichrist. And 1 hour with the beast, these ten horns receive their power. 1 hour with the beast, he comes out. Is the Antichrist alive? And I do believe there is a potential world leader out there that fits every single detail that the Antichrist will be involved in. I believe he's on the earth. But what does the Antichrist do? Look at Daniel 9:27. And he shall confirm a covenant. I want you to know something, my dear friends. There's three covenants on our world scene today already in place. Camp David Accords, 1979, Israel and Egypt. That's on the verge of being destroyed by the Muslim Brotherhood when they come to power in Egypt. The second one, the Oslo Accord, signed September the 13th, 1993. Judy and I were in the government press office. We're both journalists in Israel. We watched on a live screen television feed from the White House, Yitzhak Rabin, Bill Clinton, and Yasser Arafat signed the Camp David Accords, the Oslo Accords, a peace treaty between Israel and the Palestinians. The next year, 1994, October the 25th, Judy and I drove down to Eilat. We spent the night there, came out to the Arava, where they had 10,000 people to watch. 1,000 of them were journalists. They recorded what happened when Yitzhak Rabin, Prime Minister of Israel, King Hussein of Jordan, and Bill Clinton came together and to sign this, the peace treaty between Israel and the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan, 26 October 1994. I was there when they signed it. All of these peace treaties, Camp David Accord, Oslo Accord, this peace treaty, on the table, not working, never been normalized, waiting for somebody to come and take this peace. I can confirm this. Oh, by the way, that's what the text says. It never says they're going to sign a peace treaty. It says, I will confirm it. Gabar is the word in Hebrew, confirm, strengthen, make stronger. Here's the peace treaty of Daniel 9:27, ready to be confirmed. And when they confirm it, the clock starts ticking on the 7 years. One more thing. Look at chapter 11. Chapter 11. Here is the fourth of these unbelievable prophecies. Folks, I really need about an hour for this one, but we can't take it. We just got a couple of minutes. Chapter 11 is one of the most detailed prophetic passages in all of Scripture. 57 years before King Ahasuerus comes on the scene, verse 2 of Daniel 11, Daniel tells all about him. He'd be the fourth Persian king, far richer than all the rest, and he is the one that fulfilled the prophecy Daniel gave 57 years before he came on the scene. In verses 3 and 4, it talks about a mighty king who comes to power. That could be any of them, but then he dies and his kingdom is divided into four parts. We know that's Alexander the Great. 200 years before Alexander the Great comes on the scene, Daniel writes about him. When you come to chapter 11, verses 5 to 20, you're reading about Antiochus the Great. When this kingdom of Alexander the Great was divided into four parts, north, south, east, and west, the north was a powerful entity, the south was a powerful entity, east and west were nebulous entities. These kingdoms come to power. The Bible talks about it. Daniel relates it. The one in the north, the king of the north, his name Antiochus the Great, 300 years before he comes on the scene, Daniel details about him, says he's even going to marry the daughter of the king of the south, and it's right in the text. And that's what he did. 300 years before he comes on the scene, Daniel writes about him. By the way, the north, south, east, and west, that gives us direction. Who was the king of the north and where did he live? Modern-day Syria, Antiochus the Great. King of the south, where did he live? Modern-day Egypt. And so when you see king of the north, you're talking about Syria. You see the south, king of the south, modern-day Egypt. When you come now to the 21st verse, we see a prophecy about Antiochus the Great. You remember what happened just before Christmas, a time called Hanukkah? That was to celebrate the defeat of Antiochus Epiphanes. 360 years before he came on the scene, desecrated the temple. It talked about a group of men rising up. The Maccabees, Matthias Maccabees, Judas Maccabee, all the Maccabee brothers rise up. They throw Antiochus Epiphanes out of the temple. He had desecrated it. 3 years to the day after he desecrated it, they reconsecrated it, found a flask of virgin olive oil, lit the menorah, the seven-branch candelabra. Instead of being lighted for one day, which is all the fuel they had, it stayed lighted for 8 days. Thus Hanukkah. Hanukkah means the feast of dedication. Jesus Christ celebrated Hanukkah, John chapter 10. It's interesting to me, in John 8, 9, and 11, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And it has effect with the menorah there in the temple. He's absolute perfect. When he gets to verse 36, he's talking about the Antichrist who comes on the scene. Notice what it says here. Look at verse 40. Verses 36, 37, 38, and 39 describe the Antichrist. That's another time. Verse 40. And at the time of the end. Now look up here just a moment, please. In this definition of the time of the end, it's happening after the rapture of the church, leading up to the second coming of Jesus Christ. During the seven-year period of time, that's what it's talking about. Now look here. At the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him. Three personalities there. King of the north, that's modern-day Syria. King of the south, that's modern-day Egypt. Him. Well, that's the Antichrist. Verse 36. And the king shall do according to his will, one of 27 names for the Antichrist. So we have the personalities, he, his, and him, Antichrist. King of the north, Syria. King of the south, Egypt. When do they push at the Antichrist? When do these two Arab nations push at the Antichrist? After he has confirmed the peace treaty. He made a commitment to Israel. I'm your Messiah. I will take care of you. Where does the Antichrist go? He leaves there and goes over to Rome, Italy. Chapter 17 of Revelation. What's he doing over there? He's building a false church. What is he here? There's happening something in the Middle East. He's got to get back there. Look at verse 41. And he shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom, Moab, and the chief children of Ammon. You know what that is? Biblically, that's modern-day Jordan. Why doesn't the Antichrist destroy Jordan? Petra is located in Jordan. That's the special place prepared by God, Isaiah 63, to protect the Jewish people. So God doesn't allow him to touch Jordan. So he starts in Syria, wipes out Syria, comes through Jordan, doesn't touch it. Look here in verse 42, and he shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of the gold and over silver and over all the precious things of Egypt and the Libyans. I'll stop right there. You've been paying attention. I said when the Antichrist comes on the scene, at the beginning of the 7 years, to start the clock ticking, he confirms a peace treaty. as I'm speaking, in Amman, Jordan, they're working on peace in the Middle East. And a potential leader to be Antichrist is ahead of it. But why are they concerned? Oh, Syria, Egypt, and Libya are causing problems. Are Syria, Egypt, and Libya on the radar screen? Syria, Bashar Assad already killed 8,000 of his people trying to stay in power. The Muslim Brotherhood is trying to overthrow him as they overthrew Hosni Mubarak after 32 years. Muslim Brotherhood, a radical Islamic group. They fathered Yasser Arafat and Sheikh Yassin, who established Hamas in the Gaza Strip. And Dr. Al-Sawari, who's the number one man now in Al-Qaeda. That's products of the Muslim Brotherhood. And by the way, in Libya, after shooting Muammar Gaddafi at point blank range in the head, they took charge there. You say, you think Mubarak was good? You think Bashar Assad is good? You think Colonel Gaddafi's good? No, they weren't good. But they weren't radical, ready to come against Israel. But now the element. Who are the first three? Syria, Egypt, Libya. That's the text. I didn't make that up. In the times of the Gentiles, near the time when the Antichrist appears and that peace treaty is confirmed, the nations are getting ready to attack Israel. That's the time in which we're living. Only one thing must happen. Before all these prophecies are fulfilled, one thing. Pow! And we're out of here to see Jesus. I did that for two reasons. Number one, I wanted to show you how quickly the rapture can happen. Number two reason I did it, to show you that some of you are going to be surprised. In fact, 93% of you tried to get a head start on the rapture. I saw you. You lifted off. Relax, we all go at the same time. This is serious, though. Daniel lays out the times of the Gentiles, gives us the Antichrist, the seven-year tribulation period, and the first three nations that attack Israel. That's all happening in our time. Look up. Our redemption draweth nigh.
The book of Daniel does introduce to each of us the times of the Gentiles, which continues until the second coming of Jesus Christ. In Daniel 11, he takes us through 2,500 years of history foretold and then fulfilled, how the alignment of the nations, and that would be Islamic nations, will form a coalition to attack and then try to destroy the Jewish state of Israel. The prophet Daniel discloses the first three nations in this coalition to attack Israel. They are Syria, Egypt, and Libya. This is all part of the scenario of God's plan throughout the ages. Thank you so very much for joining us today. Next week, we will continue to look at God's plan through the ages as foretold in the prophecy of Ezekiel. Please join us then. Right now, here's Jay to tell you how you can get your copy of this week's study.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. By the way, if you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com or call our toll-free number at 8-PROPHECY-8. That's 877-674-3298. You've been listening to Prophecy Today with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. We trust that you have enjoyed this time in God's prophetic word and that Jimmy's teaching has been beneficial for you. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up. until...